Thank you for joining us for Big Blue Doors Podcast. Big Blue Doors storytelling shows, called Big Blue Door Jams, take place the third Thursday of every month at different venues in Charlottesville. Look for the next location and upcoming themes at bigbluedoor.org. The story you are about to hear was written and performed in October of 2012 by Tom Clay. The theme of the show was ghosts.
I married a girl when I was in college. Her name was Melissa. We were together for about a year. She was one of those really beautiful women with a very tragic background. And I knew when I fell in love with her that I was going to be the one who was going to show her what love was. I was going to fix her. The rumor was that she had been raped at one point. She told me later on that she had had a miscarriage. I suspected that she had also had an abortion in there somewhere. And she would look at me and she would say, "You're going to leave me like everyone else did." And I'd say, "No, Missy, honey, I love you. I'm not going anywhere. I'll always be here for you." And she would go in these dark funks. She would disappear for a week. And when she would come back, she wouldn't talk to me for days. Other times, she would get really catty, making these snappy little remarks, these cutting little gestures. One time, we were laying in bed. I was giving her a massage, and I caressed her between the legs. And she jumped up and slapped me, and she said, "Why did you have to ruin this?" We went to her parents' house for a long weekend. Her mom suspected something was up. And she said, "Have I ever told you guys the story of Miriam Thomas and Willie Harbaugh?" "No." Miriam Thomas was born in a speakeasy. She grew up wild. She was quite a handful. By the time Willie met her and fell in love with her, she was a hard cookie. But he was in love with her. And he wooed her. He sent her poems and stories and flowers. And eventually, he broke through. And they had the relationship that most people envy and dream of. They bought this big country club mansion that was their house. He wore spats, smoked a pipe. She wore dresses, took tea in the garden. He would paint the third floor of the tower. She had a potting shed. They had friends over for parties, and everybody in that house knew that they were in a holy place. This was a place of love. They circled the globe three times, twice by sea, once by air, taking photos the whole way around. It was a fairy tale life. Until the day Willie stood up at the dinner table, fell over dead of a heart attack. Miriam, later, she walked out of the house, went down the road, moved in with her sister. She left the door standing open, all the lights burning. That's how the house sat. Eventually, kids started having parties, drinking, doing drugs in the house. She had to hire a carpenter, close up all the doors and windows because they almost burned the place to the ground. And that's how the place sat. I said, "Oh my God, I gotta see this house." Next day we were there. It's this big Gothic mansion, tall, skinny windows, just like you'd expect. We walked around back. There was ivy hanging on a wall. We pulled it apart like hair. And there was a door. We went inside. We couldn't see nothing because it was pitch black. Just like the story, we hit the switch and the place came alive. Except it looked like someone had picked up the whole house and just dropped it. Everything was on the floor. It was like a 3-foot pile of papers, books, photos, paintings, broken furniture, soiled mattresses, beer bottles and cans. In the parlor, somebody had written in spray paint on the wall, "I popped Tracy Hulligan here." In the kitchen was a giant cartoon drawing of male genitals, and it said, "Eat my cock." And all around on the floor were the photos of Miriam and Willie. I couldn't take it. The place blew me away. I walked around. I was picking up stuff as souvenirs, and I found this little locket. It had Willie on one side and Miriam on the other, and I put it in my pocket. It was time to go. We walked out. Melissa's mom, she saw me with all the stuff. She says, "You can't steal Willie's stuff." So I threw it all back in except for the locket. I didn't tell anybody I had that. We got out to the car. The car wouldn't start. "That's odd. My car's never done this before," she said. I pushed it 10 feet, shut off again. I pushed it again. She looked at me. She said, "Willie's trying to tell you something." I said, "No, if Willie's going to talk to me, he's going to talk to me direct." I ended up pushing that car the whole way to the road. And when we got to the road, it ran fine, like there was nothing wrong with it at all. We're in the car, we're driving home, and she says, "Would you like to stop and meet Miriam?" Her and her sister work in a little old-timey store on the way home. "We can go in." We walked in. Sister Helen's at the front counter at the cash register. "Where's Miriam?" "Oh, she's upstairs. She's folding clothes." So I walk up these creaky old steps. I've got my hands in my pockets. I'm holding on to the locket with my right hand. And I get to the top, and there she is. It's just this little old lady with white hair down to the small of her back. And I look at her, and she stops. She looks up at me, and she just stares. And I'm looking at her. I've got a picture of her when she was young and in love with the man of her life in my pocket, and it is burning my hand. And she looks at me and she says, "What do you want?" I said, "Nothing, ma'am, I'm just looking." And I turned around and I left. We went out, drove home. That night, laying in bed, I tell Melissa about the locket. "You asshole!" She gets up, she leaves. She goes out, she sleeps on the couch. In the middle of the night, I wake up. It's freezing cold. It's like there's a window open somewhere. I open my eyes. Standing at the foot of my bed is the man from the photograph. I looked at him and I said, "Willie Harbaugh, I did not steal your stuff. I am keeping your ghost alive." And I shut my eyes, and I heard a knock on the door. And when I opened my eyes, Willie was gone. And I went up and I opened up the door, and with Melissa, she said, "Get out here." I said, "What is it, honey?" "Get out here. I got something I got to show you." So I pulled on my pants. I walked out. She takes me outside and she goes, "Look at that. Sitting right there, my car lights are on." I said, "That's very bizarre. I didn't even use the car today." She said, "It's your brake lights." I went in, I turned the key, I pressed the brake pedal. Nothing happened. The lights stayed on. She said, "You ass, don't you understand? He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you stop." And I stood there and I looked at her and I realized she was right. And a month later, I left.
Time, play, everybody.